Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, September 5th, 2020. Section A. State Board to Tackle Sex Ed Standards. For the first time in 23 years, the State Board of Education will review revisions to the statewide standards for teaching sex education and health in public schools Tuesday. This will impact about 5.5 million students. The three Ector County organizations, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center at the Permian Basin, Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Community Health Education Office, Ector County Independent School District, and the Life Center, worked to bring reproductive education to students attending Ector County schools, ultimately providing information to nearly 12,000 students in grades 5 through 10. The partnership survived budget cuts, criticism, and board concerns to provide the coming generations with the tools needed to attain healthy and happy futures. Director of Community Engagement for the Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy, Melanie Chastain, said in an email. The Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy was established in 2009 and is a nonpartisan, nonprofit education and advocacy organization dedicated to reducing the rate of unintended teen pregnancy in Texas. Jen Biondo, Director of Policy and Data for the Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy, said the state board has 15 members consisting of 10 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Biondo said SBOE has a lot of different responsibilities. Some are around school finance, and another is writing the minimum curriculum standards for new classes or periodically reviewing the minimum curriculum standards for existing classes. Every class in Texas has these minimum curriculum standards, Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills. TECs are short statements that give expectations for what students will learn in each grade level by the end of the class. They are revising the text for health education, Biondo said. Health education includes a lot of important things like mental health and nutrition and injury prevention. One of the components in health education is sexual and reproductive health. So the current texts have very minimal content that you would think of as sex ed. There's one standard in high school about contraception. Back in 2009, the Texas legislature removed health education as a high school graduation requirement, so now students don't have to take health education for an elective. We know a lot of districts aren't even able to offer health education. The result is we don't have any way to reliably make sure that kids have the opportunity to access sex education. On Tuesday, the board will have its first reading of the standards. They'll do amendments and they'll cast preliminary votes. Then they'll have second readings and final votes in November. But that first reading is really the important moment when the big decisions get made, Biondo said. For about the past year, a series of expert work groups have convened and they have arrived at a draft of health education standards that we think are pretty darn strong. She said many of the major medical organizations across Texas have been looking at the final draft, and they agree that it is strong, medically accurate, and they support it. It's a historic opportunity to reduce rates of teen pregnancy and STIs and make sure that students have the opportunity to get this really key information about how their bodies work and about how to protect their reproductive health, Biondo said. The standards offer very basic information about things like contraception and condoms and preventing sexually transmitted infections, STIs. It offers good information about puberty, menstruation, the basics of reproduction. And then one interesting thing that the standards do is they offer information about consent. The current texts talk about refusal, Biondos added. In this framework of refusal, all of the burden is on the person doing the refusing. But when we do this framework of consent, we talk about things like respecting the boundaries of other people. We think that's really important for things like sexual assault prevention. Biondo said, the one thing the standards don't have is language about LGBTQ students. It doesn't talk about sexual orientation. We have been advocating for anti-bullying language because we know that LGBTQ youths, the data showed that they're often bullied at higher rates than their peers. We'd like to at least see some language about teaching respect for other people, regardless of sexual orientation. That language is not in there, but we do think the other health-related language that's in there is very strong. She said her organization's message on the text they have arrived at is that they are good. We have heard some rumblings that there will be attempts to weaken these standards. So what we're trying to do is just preserve this language that so many professionals have worked so hard over the last year to build. In Texas, Biondo said, parents can always opt their child out of any sex education class without penalty. It always remains the parent's right if they don't want their child to receive that information. But we think this is so important because some kids have families that aren't able to talk to them about these topics. Some kids don't have families at all. In some cases, the school is the family that provides information, she said. We want to make sure that every kid has access to just basic, critical information that they need to be healthy in the long term. The draft language gives very strong expectations of abstinence and skills for remaining abstinent. But we know that 2/3 of Texas students have been sexually active by their senior year of high school. So we want to make sure that kids have the skills to stay abstinent. But we also want them to have the tools to reduce risk if they do become sexually active, Biondo said. The partnership between Ector County Independent School District, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, and the Life Center has earned them a Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancies 2018 Community Partner Award. According to figures from the Texas Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy, a baby is born to a teen mother in Ector County every 29 hours. In 2018, there were 91 births to 15 to 17-year-old girls and 210 to girls 18 to 19 years old. The information also shows 17% of teen births in Ector County are repeat births. Between 2009 and 2018, the Ector County teen birth rate declined by 55% based on the preliminary estimated 2018 rate. Ector County has made some major decreases in teen birth rates in the last decade. It's a huge accomplishment. There was a little upward click in 2018, but in the grand scheme of things, the big story is still the decrease, Biondo said. She said Ector County is a fairly small county, and one thing with any sort of data trends is that places with smaller numbers of people tend to have more of what I call wobble in their rates. Instead of smooth lines, it's a bit more jagged. Ector County had a fairly small increase in 2018 compared to 2017, but that was based on just about 30 births. Because the population is smaller, that slightly higher count shows up as a noticeable increase in the rate, she added. The birth data are on a pretty big lag, Biondo said. They tend to get the new data well over a year, so sometimes closer to 2 years after the close of the year. She said the 2018 awards were probably based on 2016 data. lawyer says, "We're taking the baton Bland gave us." Protesters gather following excessive force comments by Royal McGregor. Protesters for Wallace Tremaine Howell gathered outside the Ector County Courthouse Friday following a statement made by Ector County's district attorney that use of force by officers involved in a case where a prisoner died was excessive and should be reviewed and addressed by the Ector County Sheriff's Office. The statement issued by DA Bobby Bland also detailed the cause of death for Howell was accidental and due to methamphetamine toxicity. Howell, a 38-year-old Midland native, died while in custody June 15th at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. About two dozen protesters and two lawyers who are representing the Howell family held a press conference in front of the Ector County Courthouse, along with family members of Howell. Fellow attorney Paul Stafford and I are going to take the baton that Bobby Bland gave us, and we are going to try to take it home and make sure that justice is served for this family and for this community, attorney Justin Moore said. Following Friday's press conference, Bland reacted to the baton comment. "I made sure their client was aware of what was going on in this case," Bland said. "I have done so. Unlike them, I have no financial interest in this case. My only job was to seek justice, and that's what I did." A Tarrant County Medical Examiner's autopsy obtained by the Odessa American details that Howell was pulled over for excessive speed at 12:19 a.m. June 15th and then fled the stop at 12:21 a.m. Howell was pulled over and arrested at 12:37 a.m. and he arrived at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 1:18 a.m. and was checked by medical staff at 1:35 a.m. Howell assaulted another detainee at 5:01 a.m. and became combative with officers who deployed conducted electrical weapons, pepper sprays, and physical restraints, the autopsy detailed. The conducted electrical weapons were deployed six times in a span of 2 minutes for a total duration of 25.73 seconds. During a body cam video obtained by the Odessa American, it showed Howell punching another inmate who was sitting on a bench. Jail staff opened the jail cell, tasered Howell three times, and pepper sprayed him once before he attempted to run out of the cell. Howell was tasered three more times before he was placed in restraints, the body cam footage showed. The body cam footage showed jail staff of five women and three men struggling to place Howell in restraints. He was reportedly placed in a wrap restraint device at 5:10 a.m., and then he was taken to a shower to decontaminate at an unknown time and then placed in a padded cell. Howell was checked at 5:56 a.m. and a second time at 6:18 a.m., the autopsy stated. Howell was found unresponsive at 6:26 a.m. and then 911 was contacted at 6:28 a.m. Emergency personnel services reportedly arrived at 6:38 a.m. He was transported to a local hospital at 7:04 a.m. The hospital found cardiopulmonary arrest and he was pronounced dead at 7:13 a.m. The autopsy also details Howell's previous medical issues that showed on June 13th that he had hallucinations and delusions reported to PermiaCare. During the autopsy, Howell was found with a torn, knotted plastic baggie in his small bowel. He had pulmonary congestion, contusions to his left forehead with focal underlying subgaleal hemorrhaging, faint contusions on the left side of his face, abrasions, contusions and cuts on the inner lips, and contusions on his wrists, the autopsy detailed. Howell also had puncture marks caused by the conducted electrical weapon on his left clavicle, 10 marks on his right shoulder and arm, and 8 small burn marks on the right side of his back. Though the autopsy performed by the Tarrant County Medical Examiner's Office showed that the cause of death for Howell was due to meth toxicity, the family wants an independent examination. The independent examination has not been completed, but Stafford said once it is, the findings should be released. Moore stated that he and Stafford are planning to file a civil lawsuit on behalf of Howell's family. Moore said that they are conducting their investigation right now. He is also representing Midlander Ty Anders, who was arrested by the Midland Police Department May 16th, after police say he failed to stop when an officer tried to pull him over for running a stop sign. Anders was later indicted by a Midland County grand jury for evading arrest. With our fight, which is going to be lodged in civil court now because the district attorney has determined criminal charges are not appropriate, Moore said, we will seek out justice for this family, for Tremaine, and for the citizens of Ector County. This isn't a black problem. This is a community problem. Shirley Howard, who is one of the protest organizers, said the excessive force used by jail staff was Howell being tasered, pepper sprayed, handcuffed, and wrapped. Regardless, if you have any drugs in your system, that doesn't give anyone the right to kill you, Howard said. When Bland was asked Friday morning to elaborate on his comments that jail staff used excessive force, he declined to explain and stated, I don't want to get into specifics about that. My statement is my statement. I think it was appropriate based upon the review of the facts and the evidence. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said, if someone is tasered, it may not be effective. Griffiths explained that if someone is intoxicated on a substance, that many times they will not feel the effects of a taser. We have to use whatever force is necessary to make the arrest or to detain an individual from causing harm or further harm to any other persons, Griffiths said. The protest was met with limited opposition as ECSO deputies stood ready a couple of blocks away from the courthouse with its tank and horses available. There were also protesters across the street from the courthouse, and some had assault rifles. City of Odessa spokesperson Devin Sanchez issued a statement Friday afternoon. The City of Odessa affirms the decision to discipline a senior-level employee with Odessa Fire Rescue for insensitive and improper comments, the release stated. This incident does not represent the values and mission of the City of Odessa. Any employee who violates city policy will be disciplined. The family of Howell will also be picketing at the Ector County Sheriff's Office beginning at 10 a.m. today. Mary Howell, the mother of Wallace, Tremaine Howell, said she has received plenty of support from the communities of Midland and Odessa. As far as backlash on social media, she said she doesn't pay attention to that. I appreciate the support of our community, especially from Midland, as well as who is here from Odessa, she said. As far as social media, I don't follow that. Gentry Running for At-Large by Michael Merlot. Latasha Gentry, 46, is running for the at-large position of the Odessa City Council, saying she wants to bring fresh ideas to City Council and a voice that represents the citizens of Odessa. Gentry has lived in Odessa for 43 years and is a graduate of Permian High School, and was the vice president of her class before receiving a degree in biology from Jackson State University. This is my first time running for any type of public office, she said in a phone interview. I don't have any special interests. I want to be a voice for everyone in Odessa, not just people of influence, people with money. I want to be open to everyone in the city. If they're unable to reach the person in their district, I want to be there to answer questions and concerns they have. I want to see Odessa grow in a positive direction. Gentry is a member of the Junior League of Odessa, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, The Odessa Convention and Visitors Bureau volunteer group, People Representing Odessa Smiles, PROS, and is the lead usher at St. Matthew Baptist Church. In the past, she said she has served as vice president of the Odessa Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. Gentry has been a flight attendant with American Airlines for 21 years. Being a flight attendant, I work 12 to 15 days a month max, so I have a very flexible job that is considered full-time for a flight attendant, she said, adding that if she is elected, she will plan her schedule around duties as a city council member. I would make sure that the days I need to be in council, that those days are clear, she said. Gentry said that she didn't have any complaints against the city council because they all speak on their own personal perspective. They can only speak from their own vantage point. I will say that I love the direction the city is going in as far as the growth with the new businesses and the new restaurants, she said. Gentry said that the growth of downtown has been a great impact on the city and that she hopes to continue to see that growth reaching all the way through the south side and other parts of the city. She spoke about diversifying the economy in Odessa and why that is important during the pandemic. Not everyone in Odessa works in the oil field business. When we were doing well and we were number two in the country for jobs, most of those jobs were in the oil business. And now that times are hard, we're going through a global pandemic, a lot of people are suffering. So I'm glad that the city council can help those in need. It was nice to see them helping small businesses. While Mayor David Turner and former District 1 Councilmember Joanne Davenport Littleton seek the at-large seat, Gentry, as well as Denise Swanner, are candidates who would be new to City Council. I want to be a service to my community, Gentry said, and if people in Odessa give me a chance and vote for me, I'm going to work hard for everyone in the city. I'm going to be there for the people, listen to what they have to say, their concerns, and vote in the way that I feel is best for the city. Gentry said that she's always been involved in the community and is passionate about the city. She spoke about the importance of coming back from the pandemic and the roles that citizens have to contribute for the city's rebound. I was happy when our governor of Texas decided to put the mask mandate into businesses to keep people safe. And even if it's just 18% of Odessans who are getting sick, that's too much. We want to keep people safe, she said. She said she attended the In Defense of Black Lives March earlier in the summer and stood next to the current at-large council member Peggy Dean. She spoke about Black Lives Matter protests around the country and said that Odessa Police Department Chief Michael Gerke did an awesome job in his speech, and he made the citizens and the people who were listening to him feel free to talk to him if they had any concerns or questions, she said, adding that she didn't want police to be defunded in any way, but wanted an open dialogue with those policing the community. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 20, Section A. COVID Grants Still Available by Michael Merlot. While more than 50 local businesses have applied for the City of Odessa Business Assistance Program funds, COBAP, the city detailed in an email that $235,000 remain for local small businesses to apply for. An email from City of Odessa Director of Communications Devin Sanchez detailed that out of the $500,000 of allocated CARES CRF funds, small businesses have received $265,000 since applications opened August 10th. Sunset West Cleaners in Odessa received $10,000, the city reported. Stephen Quintella co-owns the cleaners along with his parents and said that since the pandemic hit, they took a hit like everybody else. The loan helped a lot, he said in a phone interview. 40% of our business is oil related and everything else is restaurants and stuff like that. But now that everything is slowly picking up, we're not even close to last year, but we're getting there. He said that Sunset West Cleaners never had to close down fully because people were still able to drop off and pick up their laundry, but added that people were weary of foot traffic, which led them to incorporate their drive-through. When we did the shelter in place, that's when it really hurt, he said. We went down a lot, and we're still managing to scrape by. Sanchez said in a phone interview that businesses may not receive COBAP funds if they have already received federal funding. A big part of why council approved this was because we were targeting the true small businesses, the ones that didn't get any federal funding, the ones who didn't get any help. So that was a big stipulation for the entire thing. If you received federal funding, you're not eligible for our grant program. While many businesses nationally have received the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP loan, the distribution of PPP funds came under some scrutiny after large restaurant chains like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse received a $20 million loan, along with other large chains such as Shake Shack that received a $10 million loan and reportedly returned the money. Maytez Work Clothes in Odessa was denied COBAP funds because they received a federal grant that reportedly amounted to around $2,000. Leticia Barrientos co-owns the business with her husband, who she said had to pick up a second job after the pandemic slowed down their sales. I think we'll get through all of this once other work picks up. Then we're going to get busy also, but we're just trying to hold out until then. She said that their business was closed down for a couple of months during the pandemic, but that they would meet clients who wanted to buy work attire until they opened back up in June. We're very slow. We're having to close early most days, she said, adding that they are holding on and are still open for their customers. The city reported that Royal Inn Odessa received $5,000 from the program, as did Hercules Barbecue and DK Nails and Spa. One of the requirements to receive funding was that business owners needed to be up to date on their property taxes and water bills. World famous Sam's Barbecue was originally turned down for a grant due to unpaid property taxes, but owner Tiki Davis paid those property taxes and brought proof of that payment, and Sam's received $5,000 of the funding. At-large City Council member Peggy Dean said that although Tiki Davis had other properties with around $17,000 of unpaid property taxes at the time, those on the COBAP committee only looked to see if business owners are late on their property taxes relating to the COBAP grant. Davis paid the other $17,000 unpaid taxes after being contacted by an Odessa American reporter. Davis is a candidate for District 1 on Odessa's City Council. We check the business. We do the research on whatever business that applied, she said, adding that they check the property taxes, City of Odessa water bills, and sales tax. The COBAP grants range from $2,500 to $10,000 and are available on a first-come, first-served basis and are available for business interruptions occurring on or after March 18, 2020, date of the mayoral disaster declaration due to COVID-19, which resulted in required closures, voluntary closures to promote social distancing, or decreased customer demand, the city detailed. More information regarding on how to apply for the COBAP grants can be located on the city website at https://tinyurl.com/y4opw52k. Businesses that received funding: Royal Inn, $5,000, Video Star, $5,000, PSC Trucking Services, $2,500. Garibaldi's Tacos, $10,000. Ruby the Brow Girl, $2,500. Kenner Company, $10,000. Odessa Logistics Service, $10,000. KeyVV Trucking, $5,000. Mary's Fashion, $2,500. Service Office Supply, $10,000. Pro Nails, $10,000. 3M Trucking, $10,000. World Famous Sam's Barbecue, $5,000. AG Transportation LLC, $10,000. RPMs, $5,000. Sunset West Cleaners, $10,000. Compost Barber and Beauty, $2,500. Fresco LLC, $2,500. Sal Weimar Services, $5,000. Mike Holmes Attorney, $10,000. Ye Olde Bookworm, $2,500. Headlines 2 Barber, $2,500. Par 2 Designs, $5,000. Dulceria La Mexicana, $2,500. Alpha and Omega Safety, $2,500. Stevens Construction and Irrigation, $10,000. Cliff's Food Wagon, $10,000. Lujan Trucking, $5,000. G&J Fast Cash Check Service, $10,000. Canvas Creations, $2,500. Emilio's Paleteria, $2,500. Cheers to Paint, $2,500. Maggie's Hair Salon, $2,500. DK Nails and Spa, $5,000. Navidades Mexico, $2,500. Win Nails, $10,000. Best Nails, $10,000. Hercules Barbecue, $5,000. C&B Trucking, $2,500. Diamond Nails, $10,000. Businesses that did not receive funding. Big M Answering, Ed and Tom's Barbecues, Nino's Tire Service, Casa Ortiz Restaurant, Oil Connection LLC, Passit Logistics LLC, Maytay's Work Clothes, Josie's Fancy Nails, Triple T Repair.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, September 7th. Apolinario seeks Odessa's top spot. The story was written by Michael Merlo. Gloria Apolinario said that her experience as a servant to constituents for state and federal officials led to her run for mayor. Quote, "I think there is a gap between the constituents, the community, and the government of Odessa," Apolinario said, "a gap of light communication that she said she hopes to mend." Apolinario has been a licensed realtor at the Heritage Real Estate Group for 2 years and was the regional director for U.S. Congressman Mike Conaway, and before that was the district director for former Texas State Representative Tryon D. Lewis for 6 years. Quote, "In my career, that's all I do is resolve issues," she said, adding that she hopes to bring those skills to the mayor position. Quote, "I am familiar to make the federal government resources work for the city of Odessa. I'm very resourceful. I can look for grants and stuff," she said. Apolinario said she's been studying the area and is reading up on local issues. Quote, "The small business is very essential to any area because it fuels the economy. I could do something when I get in there to help small businesses to recover from COVID," she said, adding that she would work with ODC to facilitate that. She said that although there is already a program set up between ODC and the city government, there is more to do. Quote, "People don't know," she said. "Being in the public relations marketing, I can disseminate information better, maybe. That's all I'm thinking. a lot of them, small businesses, don't know, end quote. She said, adding that advertising is a large part of how she plans to showcase what the city has to offer. Quote, we have two good hospitals, ORMC, we have medical center. Why are people having to go someplace else to do their surgery or whatever? Why can't we be the forefront of West Texas for healthcare? End quote. She said that with Odessa College and UTPB, why do people have to go to Texas Tech? End quote. Quote, I think if we work with those people, there are so many things that can be done about it. I would like people from Austin to be like, oh, I want to go to UTPB. End quote. She has also been a part of the Permian Basin Regional Council on Drug and Alcohol Abuse, the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, Catholic Charities, March of Dimes, Odessa Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Midland Independent School District Key Communicators, Hispanic Heritage of Odessa, Centers for Children and Family, Ector County Republican Women, and Crossroads Marathon. She said that she has also been a lector and Eucharistic minister at St. Elizabeth and St. Mary's churches. She said that the passion she brings as a volunteer will translate to her work as mayor. She also spoke on her fiscal responsibility to minimize taxes. Quote, I will work with all public PAC-supported institutions to minimize tax burden on our citizens, she said, adding that while taxes are raised, it is the citizens who suffer. Quote, you have to explain to the citizens why you're doing it, good or bad. There's going to be unpopular decisions, but if it's right, you do it, she said. As a mayor, she said she wants to listen, communicate, and deliver. Quote, I watch Trump, and that's what he does. He listens to people, he listens to little issues, and then he makes a decision. He doesn't even care if you get upset with his decision, but his decision is based on listening to people, she said. That's what I want to do, end quote. She said that while she wears a mask, a lot of her friends think that a mask mandate was unconstitutional. Quote, it's a personal decision if you don't want to wear a mask. The mask prevents you from putting it out, she said of COVID. Quote, people are really mean, she said, adding that she wants to listen to people, but sometimes it's difficult, but she hopes to do that for the city. Quote, I'm only going to run on my merits, she said. I just really want to help. I want to bridge the gap for issues between the community and the citizens, and I would like them to be able to trust. If I become the mayor, I want people to trust me, she said, adding that she would listen to citizens' problems.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. Front page. Mata looking to District 1 seat by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Mark Mata, 44, is running for the City Council District 1 seat, he said, because he wants to bring better representation to the whole district. I think there needs to be better representation. All the citizens are paying the same tax rate, he said in an interview. Being that I lived on both sides of that district, I've lived on the south part of District 1 and the north part of District 1, I see that there can be some improvements. It wasn't very long ago that in the south side, there were still residential streets that were dirt roads. I've always felt there was no excuse for that. Mata graduated from Odessa High School, attended Odessa College and Texas Tech, where he earned a degree in business management. He is currently an account manager at Four Star Hose and Supply, an independent industrial hose specialist for oil and gas, and in his free time coaches a local soccer club and is a board member of the Odessa Soccer Association. He also said he has served on the Odessa Barrio Lions Club, Mission Messiah, and is active at Odessa Bible Church. Mata said that he wants to bring his experience as a manager and as a volunteer to City Council and be someone who listens to those in need. He spoke about canvassing the District 1 neighborhood to get his candidate signatures. I would visit with people in that district, he said, and so many of them invite me in their homes, and we'd sit down and talk, and they would just tell me what they're wanting, and I just don't think they've had that for the longest time, he said. Mata spoke on the District 1 and said that there are multiple sides to why money is being spent in the downtown area. I've got a lot of different points of view on that. Some are saying we are spending way too much. We just need to forget about it and just put that money directly into other projects that just need to be prioritized over downtown. But I also see the other side, too, where I've read books about city growth. One of the main things that they do to grow a city is to revitalize their downtown, he added. One of the main positives about revitalizing downtown is that it brings in small businesses, and I think that is an important part of revitalizing the economy. He also spoke on how the city should loosen regulations for small businesses because those are the businesses that perpetuate pride in the city of Odessa. While ODC's mission is to diversify the local economy, Mata spoke about how the economy has been impacted by the pandemic and how ODC's mission has expanded from its original purpose, saying that there's times when we do have to stray off of our path that we're designed to go to help out those people that need that help, he said. Mata said that unification is one of his goals as a councilman, and he wants there to be more education for minority businesses in Odessa, and that it was a good thing that the Hispanic and Black chambers are being included in ODC's mission of educating local small businesses and helping them receive coronavirus funds. For economic diversification, for the economy to grow, let's streamline or let's ease up some of the restrictions or some of the regulations that people need to do to open up a business, he said, adding that so many times an error on a document could excuse them from potential grants or loans. Mata spoke on the Odessa Development Corporation's The Permian Fuels America campaign and said that he's been through booms and busts. It's good to see that the oil industry here is giving back to the community, basically, he said, regarding Kirk Edwards' involvement in the Permian Fuels America campaign. Our main source of income for just about everybody here is the oil industry, he said. Mata also spoke about unifying different local entities for a stronger Odessa. We have a city council, we have the school board, we have the county commissioners. Sometimes it just all seems to be competing against each other. It'd be great if we could get those three to work together to bring some effective change. There's no need for us to work against each other. We can work hand in hand, and that's something I've done with my job here. Of course, there's different personalities in every organization, he said. He spoke on the water bill and said that it's archaic. Even during the average water billing, it just seems to come out different every time. It just needs to be updated for sure, he said. Fiscal responsibility is another aspect that Mata said he hopes to bring to council, and that the city has accrued a lot of debt, and that he hopes to keep water, sewer, and tax rates down. I think so many leaders just see it as it's just a half a cent, and then they have this other half a cent, and this other half a cent, or a quarter of a cent, and all that seems to add up, he said. He said that there has to be ways to improve the city without a tax hike. He said that there should be some improvements made, including walking trails and community gardens in the city, and that he looked forward to working with Odessa Arts to help beautify the city. He also spoke about the importance of transparency, saying that he disagreed with early meetings, such as the 10 a.m. City Council work sessions, because it made it harder on citizens to stay informed. Let's make those meetings where people are more available to show up to them, he said, adding that the more information regarding bond issues and tax hikes should be readily available to citizens, which could help establish trust between Odessans and elected officials. Mata said that while he was against the COVID-19 mask mandate, he does respect it, supports it, and wears one. I think the right way the governor should have done it is called a special session in the legislature, and being such a hot topic, it would have garnered the support from all the other legislators, he said. Mata also said that while he backs the blue and supports law enforcement, he understands that a majority of minorities live in District 1, and he was proud of the citizens of Odessa during the Black Lives Matter protest in Odessa, and that it exemplified what a protest should be. I think I would have gone out there if I had to and support the district, because definitely I'd say a large percentage of the people in that protest were probably District 1 citizens. If there were to be a Trump rally or something like that, I'd also be there supporting them. Runoffs. City council and mayor candidates need 50% plus one of the vote to win their election, and City Secretary Norma Grimaldo said that a runoff date has not been scheduled. Who has filed? Mayor Dewey Bryant, Javier Hovan, and Gloria Apolinario. District 1, Eddie Mitchell, Michael Shelton, Mark Mata, and Tiki Davis. District 2, Stephen Thompson and Rachel Miner. At large, Denise Swanner, David Turner, Joanne Davenport Littleton, and Latasha Gentry. Election 2020. Early voting is October 13th to October 30th. Visit http://www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections for more information. Election day is November 3rd. Epigastric hernia and strenuous exercise. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm 70 years old and do 400 push-ups every morning. I also lift weights 2 days a week. I have developed an epigastric hernia. It doesn't bother me, and my primary doctor said leave it alone. Can I continue my exercise program without causing further damage? I do wear a brace during my workout and feel absolutely no pain. R.S. Answer. Epigastric hernias are fairly common, especially in men. They arise from a weakness in the abdominal wall in the midline, above the belly button, and are generally small. Surgery is needed only rarely, and if your doctor has said not to worry about it, that's a very good reassurance. If the exercise regimen isn't bothering you or your hernia, there is no reason to stop. 400 push-ups is pretty impressive. Keep up the great work. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020, etc. Divorcee is surprised to find love close to home. Dear Abby, I am recently divorced after a 19-year marriage, and to my great shock, I already find myself in love with another man. I didn't come out of the marriage looking for anyone, nor did I think I'd ever marry again, but this man wants to marry me, and I'm seriously considering it. We bonded when he contacted me to offer support after he heard about my divorce, and it was love at second sight. Why second? Because we grew up together, literally next door, and he's my first cousin. Despite the societal taboo, it is legal in my state for first cousins to marry, and genetic issues with offspring aren't a concern. We're both sterile and have no ability or desire for more children. My siblings suspect and aren't pleased with the situation. His parents know and are happy for us. Am I crazy to think I'm in love again this quickly? It doesn't feel too fast because we've always known each other and been close. It's just that the form of love has changed. How do we break it to the rest of the family, the world? People can be so judgmental, even though in many parts of the world it is perfectly normal to marry your cousin. Secret love in the South. Dear secret love, you are not crazy, but you may be in an altered mental state, as many recently divorced people have found themselves. They describe it as a kind of high. If you are wise, and I hope you are, you will slow this romance down and allow enough time for your family to become accustomed to the changed circumstances of your relationship with your cousin. The world isn't going to care about this the way your family does, so don't concern yourself with explaining anything to the general public. How often have you asked couples to explain if they are related in addition to marriage? Not many, I'll bet. My advice is to let this new relationship evolve more slowly. If you do, the outcome may be more positive than if you hurtle to the altar. Dear Abby, I have the best wife and daughter ever, and here's my dilemma. My daughter lives in another state and would love us to build a second home nearby to be closer to their family. My wife and I are nearly 80 and very active. I play tennis or pickleball every day. My wife walks an hour to an hour and a half every morning. We are happiest when we are active. Where my daughter lives is not conducive to walking, and my wife would be very unhappy. Please don't suggest a gym or a treadmill. Been there, done that. Plus, my wife has no desire to take on the added burden of a second house. We just downsized 5 years ago. How do I keep the two women in my life happy? Figuring it out in Florida. Dear Figuring, recognize that it won't be possible to make both women happy. Your first loyalty should be to your wife. Explain to your daughter that you know she means well, but that at your ages, 80, your routine is extremely important. It's true. That routine may be what keeps you as healthy as you are. Back it up with the fact that two homes would be too much for you and her mother to manage, which is why you have both decided, as much as you love her, to keep things as they are. And stick to it. Your daughter can visit you and you can visit her, but stay where you are. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Virgo and a moon in Taurus until 4:28 p.m., when the moon enters Gemini. Happy birthday for Tuesday, September 8, 2020. Enigmatic, purist, and performative, you have a powerful effect on people. Puzzling to some, worshipped by others, this year you straighten things out. And in the latter half, you achieve stellar career success. If single, you yearn to have one partner when you have several. If attached, you might find yourself especially demanding of your partner this year. Let him or her breathe, and bliss will be attained. Libra needs harmony. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 3 stars. Develop patience and use your experience before acting on security matters. Guesswork isn't a good idea today for exuberant Aries. Be aware of how past habits affect your finances. Change what hasn't been beneficial to you. Tonight, some deep meditation would be helpful. Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 5 stars. Today brings a further focus on your individuality. Your personality opens doors. Devote attention to goals that really matter. Shop for bargains and pursue ways to add to your earning powers. Your desire to learn leads you to worthwhile discoveries. Tonight, up late and excited. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Keep a sense of humor during social situations. Today is a pivot for tense aspects. A kind word or ignoring a slip-up from another is wisest now. Adapt to the economic cycles or the times, and all will be well. Tonight, contemplate your deepest dreams. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Maintain a positive mindset. Your attitude creates your reality. Your emotions serve as motivators. You will have a deep sense of direction. A meaningful love relationship can be a factor. The day brings a great deal of excitement. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 3 stars. Today brings a somewhat frustrating career situation, but not one you can't overcome. Work cooperatively and as a team, even if you're not, for best results. Accept others as they are and use your creative ideas constructively. Tonight, catch up with old friends. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. A sudden travel opportunity should not be passed up. The change of scene could transform your entire life's direction for the better. Physical activities bring out your best intellectual potentials, so don't forget to exercise today. Tonight, go somewhere different. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Your excellent communication skills serve you well today. Changes and events that began in the early summer provide clues as to what is happening now. Confusion related to cash flow clears. An old work associate contacts you unexpectedly. Tonight, it's good news. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Today makes good manners and sincerity a must in matters of the heart. Recognize what is and is not real in romance. You may find yourself committing to future plans for a relationship. Tonight, talk it over with one you consider a mentor. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 3 stars. A nurturing and loving relationship with a pet can be very beneficial to your well-being. But if an animal is too difficult to care for, a new home might be the wisest solution for all concerned. Tonight, give yourself a break. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. A long-time relationship may very well reach a turning point. Your romantic needs are going through an adjustment period. New attractions are possible. The sense of disappointment and denial of the past years are cleared briefly today. Tonight, dare to date. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Work on cooperation rather than competition. Relationships can be exciting, but not peaceful today. An important turning point affects a long-term commitment. Catch up with a long-lost family member who might need your help. Tonight, go to bed especially early. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. You're ready to explore and wander. Reflect upon a world map to help intuit the best places for moves or visits. Obstacles posed by communication gaps or ornery neighbors are easily overcome. You can take care of immediate transportation needs. Tonight, talk it out. Born today, artist Vincent van Gogh, 1853, singer Eric Clapton, 1945, actor Paul Reiser, 1957.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.